screen tonight so you can
Blog Talk Radio.
E-L-F-I, yeah. Sorry, Roger, I had Blog Talk Radio talking, so I couldn't hear you very well through it. Yes. I'll show it, Roger. I'll show it, and you'll be able to see it in just a little bit here. Okay. Yes. Yes, yep. Just now, yes, welcome YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Okay. Yes. Well, except that right now YouTube is telling me it's private again. So let me open another screen and see if it actually is or not. Okay. It is actually live, Roger, so go ahead. Okay, let's get out of there. Amen, yes. YouTube is up, yes. And Roger's already there. Welcoming everyone. Thank you, Roger. Yeah. Yeah, I do want to show that. This morning on our morning prayer program, we were talking about not supporting businesses anymore that have decided to support everything unrighteous and that are trying to undermine the kingdom of God, actually. And anyways, we were talking about alternatives, and I was talking about that Pastor and I have recently changed all of our, or we're in the process of changing all, some of our banking is already changed, and we're in the process of doing the rest of it, to a credit union. It is a very Christian-based credit union. They've been in business for almost 60 years, and their name is Adelphi, and you can do everything through them that you do normal banking. We don't have a branch that is near us. Well, there is one that's like 50 miles away, but we do most of our stuff online now anyway, and we do have the ability to go to the physical branch, but they're all over the United States. You can check and see where the branches are near you if you need a physical branch or want to know where one is. Anyways, I just wanted to show you so that you can look this up. Roger was asking about it and how to spell it, and it gives you some of your information. So I just want to give you a visual because this is such an amazing, amazing thing they've done here. Membership means joining a community of 10,000 plus believers who put their money where their heart is to align their faith and their finances. And their logo is, you know, better banking, higher purpose. And they have... they have a short video here, too, that is really good that talks about the principles of Adelphi and then how to qualify for Adelphi membership. As with all credit unions, people qualify for Adelphi membership by sharing a unifying common bond, and here is how you can qualify. And there is a faith statement that you need to agree with, and then it talks about your family relationships, churches, schools, missions that you're interested in, because a lot of their mission or their money goes towards mission work. Can you actually still see this? Let me. Okay, I was going to say something just happened with the screen over here, and all I see is your name. Oh, is that what's, maybe that's what's taken the picture away. Hold on. Okay, and then right here, Adelphi's Kingdom Impact. We aim to be good stewards of our members and God's resources by supporting Christian ministries, nonprofits, and organizations throughout the U.S. and globally. For us, this means working with partners who contribute to Christian organizations that support family values, education, church planting, spreading the gospel, and providing food and water and shelter to those who in need. For nearly 60 years, we've collaborated with those of shared faith to create positive change and be the salt and light of the earth. In 2022 alone, we've donated over $3.5 million and volunteered 670 plus staff hours to nonprofit ministries and missionaries committed to serving the Lord and spreading his word. So this is, you know, truly is a Christian-based banking alternative. We had realized that a couple of the banks that we had worked with were supporting and even financing some of these events, I guess you would say, of the alphabet community. I don't know how else to address them. But anyways, we don't want to be supporting anything that is doing that. And we are endeavoring. And like Pastor said, you don't always know who all is. But as you find out that these companies, you know, are supporting these things, withdraw from them. Take your money out of them. There are other alternatives. And so this was a huge alternative to us. And again, the name is Adelphi. And it does have a meaning. I don't remember what the meaning is. But as you you know, search out this information with them. It tells you, and then their logo too has the white cross in the center too. So everything they do has a meaning to it, standing for Christ. So it's a good company to look into. It is a great alternative to get your money out of the hands of those supporting wickedness was the whole point of all of that. So Yeah, I had forgotten about that. They literally do ask you when you order your cards, if you're a missionary in a country and you don't want the Adelphi emblem on your card, then you can order it without. So, yeah. Yeah, mobile deposit and checks and... Yes, it is. Yeah, we need to start building the kingdom and draining the enemy's camp. So there was that. I hope that gave you all of the information and the visual that you need to check that out. We definitely encourage it. Adelphi is A-D-E-L-F-I. I don't know. I know the military had certain words they would use for every letter of the alphabet. I do not know what those are. Adelphi, yes. So anyways, there is that. And are we playing one of our old messages tonight? Okay. So thank you all for being here tonight. We're so glad to have you with us. You can come on in if you want. Everybody say hi to my dad. Hold on. Let me move the camera so you can wave to everybody. Look right in here.
Good morning.
Good morning. He said, they said, good morning, Brother Lee.
Good morning. Glad to see you guys.
All right. Did you want me to do the pledges or? All right. Let me pull those up. Give me just a minute, everybody. We really do have it together here. Thank you.
Rebecca, it says close to you.
Amen. Okay. All right. Well, I am going to share screen right now and pull up our pledges and our opening prayers while Pastor gets squared around doing what he's doing. So here we go. Our pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And then our pledge to our American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And our community of faith opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then let's pray these two verses over Jerusalem. We pray them over the United States of America, and they're good ones to pray over any person in your life that you know is lost. Pray this over them. Jeremiah 24:7, that God will give them a heart to know him, that he is the Lord, and they shall be his people, and he will be their God. For they shall return to him with their whole heart. And Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen and amen. And good evening. Of course, Roger, we know you're here. We love you. Richard, we're so glad to have you with us. And Rebecca, we love you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us. And Pastor, are you back with us yet? There he is, back in black. Now Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that is a lot of fun. Oh, I wish you'd have thought of that earlier. That would have been great. I do know where it is. I do not have a player on my, On the TV, yeah. All right. All right. Oh, my goodness. Hold on for just a second. I did not send out the shares to the other ones. Okay. Do I bring one of the rolly chairs in? Or are you on the roller? Oh, sorry.
Baker.
Here we go. We're in Genesis. Oh, I was. Every husband wishes they had a mute button for the wife, don't they? Okay. All right, here we go. Genesis 40. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, in each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes." All right. Let's read verse 10 again. "And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember..." Verse 14, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dreams and there I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass. Wow, wouldn't that just be a horrible moment to hear that? Verse 20, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Lest we forget. Chapter 41. Right. Here we go. Chapter 41. That it came to pass at the end of two full years. Two more years that Pharaoh had a dream. Oh, my. And Joseph was probably thinking, in 3 days, I'm going to be out of here. And 2 years later, wow. In two full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there come up out of the river seven cows, fine looking and fat. And they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain come up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret it for Pharaoh. I don't know if I was in that position, if I would interpret it, because if you were wrong, he'd have you killed. So it'd be a scary position to be in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were done. Yep. Okay, there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. I'm in verse 9 now, chapter 41, verse 9. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fault to this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand and dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of his peace. Good answer, Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly seven cows came out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. 21, when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as in the beginning. So I awoke. Verse 22, as I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up, and one stalk full and good. Then behold, seven heads withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 26. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, twice established. And you know, this is a thought too, is that, you know, many times, well, I believe always that God reveals things like that to us so we can prepare, or we have the ability to change it, like he revealed this to Pharaoh, and look at what a change it made. Now, the baker should have been on his knees. It doesn't say whether he was or not. I just always think, at that point in time when you heard that dream, wouldn't you be on your knees repenting and begging for the mercy of the Lord, and maybe he could have turned that around. I don't know. But anyways, we see how Pharaoh changes this because he was forewarned by the Lord. Here we go. I forgot where I was. Let's just go with 31, so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be severe. Verse 32, and the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So this gave him every opportunity to prepare for this that was coming. Joseph's rise over power, verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Duh. 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Verse 43. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephnath-Paneah. Did I say that right, love? Okay. Close enough. Zephnath-Paneah. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah. Priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain, sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was without number. Verse 50. Or he just had a bad day. All right. Verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God had made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. Hallelujah. Do you want me to read chapter 42? All right. Judges 6:28. Gideon destroys the altar of Baal. Whoops. There we go. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. And Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by mourning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon when he blew the trumpet, and the Beezerites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Verse 36, then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will have that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me and let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Okay. Read through 7. Okay. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Amen. Chapter 7, verse 5. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their head to their mouth or hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. We're in verse 9 now. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the Pura, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Pura, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have just had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the son or man of Israel. For into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. Verse 15. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Then he delivered the 300 men into the three companies, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do just as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Verse 20. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerira, as far as the border of Abi Maholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Bethbara and Jordan and the Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, how about if I, I'll continue to read that Gideon subdues the Midianites. Because that's always good. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded him shortly. So he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then their anger toward him abated when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army? So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into your hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men had answered him. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Karkur and their armies with them, about 15,000 men, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road to those who dwell in tents on the east of Noba and Jogba, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle from the accent of Heres. And he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him, and he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and his elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hands that we should give bread to your weary men? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. This really doesn't have a lot to do with dreams, which was our focus for tonight. There are so many places in the Bible, though, that God did speak to people through dreams, and some people were able to change the things that were coming up, or they were able to pour them. And that is the purpose of dreams, and we should take our dreams seriously. And if you feel that a dream has been sent to you, most definitely talk to the Father about it. And make sure everything is in order the best you're able to do, too. I'll just keep reading here because I have not pulled up any verses or have any of this to back that up. But this is all good anyway. Then he tore down the tower of Penuel. I'm in verse 17 now. And killed the men of the city. And he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? So they answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jether, his firstborn, rise, kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. So Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise yourself and kill us, For as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Wow. Can you imagine being in that position? Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your sons and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me the earnings from his plunder. For they had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And here we have, hi, I'm glad. Oh, I just continued on to chapter 8. And we're into the Ishmaelites now. Do you want me to quit reading or keep? All right. Here you go. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Yes. No. Thank you.
in a way I don't understand.
No, the 300 that he took with him, is that what you were talking about?
Oh, 20,000?
Okay. Yep, everything's good.
Thank you.
Are you reading or do you want me to read? All right.
Thank you.
I didn't. I got distracted, but I will find it.
$135,000
Yep, with 300 men. Thank you. Nope, not that I've seen tonight. Richard is here, yes. Oh, I see Richard put up there 135,000, so he had the answer there for you. Yeah. All flesh. All flesh. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
She sounds a lot like you. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Amen. I do. Yes, let me go get my elements. I do not have those. Amen. I am ready. Yep. New covenant worship. Yes. All right, is Pastor? Go ahead. Oh, were you? Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh man. Yes, everyone get your elements out. As we always say, we like to have you use bread or a cracker and grape juice, but if you're in a pinch, you can use anything. We do bless and sanctify our elements before we take them. If you have been considering but have not yet received Jesus as the Lord of your life, we are going to say the prayer of salvation. We'll put the words on the screen so you can pray it out loud. We'll all pray it together with you after we read the communion verses out of the Bible. And then you'll be welcome to join with us in receiving communion. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life yet, don't receive communion with us yet on that. We're going to read the verses and that'll help explain that a little bit for you. But it's definitely something, if you've been pondering this, if you have questions, you've thought about asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but you have questions about it, please contact us. Our contact information will be in the notes in YouTube after the program. Also, you can go to our website, which is samueljcottle.com. It's the Community of Faith website, and our contact information is there. Please email us. We'll be glad to answer any questions you have, help bring understanding so that you feel comfortable in doing this. This is a life and eternity-changing decision that you want to make as soon as possible in your life, so please consider it. So right now I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Hold on for just a second. And these are the communion verses. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death for his redemptive work until he comes." Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That means taking this communion without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. verse 21 or 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen. Thank you, Father, that we have that opportunity to judge ourselves. So as we were saying before we take communion, I'm going to share the screen and put up the prayer of salvation. And we can pray this out loud together and mean this. If this is the first time you're praying this, well, anytime you pray it, mean it from the very depths of your heart. Here we go. Like we've said so many times before, this isn't a decision for tonight. This is a decision for your eternity. Hold on. Had to go back out. Get myself off of the screen there. Here we go. Here is the prayer of salvation. And like I said before, you know, even if you've prayed this 1,000 times, pray it again. It's a wonderful refreshing to your soul. And it pleases the Lord. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and that you died and rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. And surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to be the first to say, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. And please contact us and let us know you've made this decision. And we'd be glad to help you know how to walk out this new Christian life. We have this wonderful support family here called the Community of Faith that will welcome you. They'll be glad to do everything to help you feel comfortable being in a group of people that will help you know how to walk with God every day and to be a part of this group. And we are here every day for you to be a part. There you go. Amen. And now here we go. You have your communion elements. Let's lift them up. And we say, Father, thank you for these communion elements. We bless them and we sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And now I'm going to share screen again so we can read the communion prayer together. Oh my goodness. I have to stop share to get myself off of the screen again. I will adjust to this new process. Here we go, our communion prayer, or the precursor to the communion prayer. Here we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And now here is the prayer over the bread. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now lift up the cup of blessing. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. And here's the prayer. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And let's receive the juice together. I always love to imagine taking the blood of Jesus, filling your very being with the blood of Jesus from the inside out. Sister Phyllis, do you have closing benediction verses for us you'd like to read tonight? Are you with us? Oh, I see Tracy is here. Welcome, Tracy. Oh, no, you're fine. It is. It's a Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to read Pastor's favorite verses from Job 33. Verse 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their bed, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. That is such a powerful few verses there. Thank you, Sister Phyllis, for reading for us. Thank you, Rebecca, for putting verses in over there and for all of the communication going on YouTube. It's great to see that fellowship happening over there. We love that. Thank you all for being with us tonight. We so appreciate you being here and receiving of the word. And I'm not sure, Pastor may not be able to come back on right now, but we will be back tomorrow morning for morning prayer and declaration time at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time and 9 o'clock Eastern. Have a wonderful evening and God bless your sleep. And we say we love you and God loves you and Jesus is Lord. Amen. Have a great evening, everyone. We love you. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you. And it is mutual. We love you guys and appreciate you so much being a part of this, being live with us. It makes it, yeah. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
What are you howling about? I'm trying to do stuff here. I'm trying to do stuff here. What are you howling for, Bubby?
Commandments.